a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
We are live, and that's our number, and I hope that you will give us a call if you have a chance to on this Sunday night, the 21st of January. A big week and weekend in the pro-life world because, of course, the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade is coming up tomorrow. The March for Life is completed this year. It was, of course, an amazing success once more in terms of the people coming out to stand for truth. And once more, the media did not really fully tell that story, although some of the speakers drew some attention from mainstream press that doesn't get the story. They just don't seem to get the story. They don't like the story, I think, in many cases. But it's been a big weekend and an important weekend. I was invited to speak at a church today for several services and speak to the high school students about my story of healing in Christ after abortion and really my testimony that Jesus loves us and that what he has done for us is so sufficient to cover everything, including our willfulness around abortion and our the lack of the ability to exercise our free will in some cases, many, many coerced and victimized by abortion. But what Christ has done for all of us makes it all pale in the light of his love. That's our story here. And, wow, tonight's guest is, I think, someone that is she's got just an extraordinary faith, and she's got an extraordinary prayer life, and it led to some extraordinary events in her city of Toledo. And so it's a joy to welcome to our program Denise Emmerine from the Greater Toledo House of Prayer. Denise, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Oh, hi. I am so excited to talk with you tonight.
This is such an amazing story because the Center for Choice was kind of on the bad side of town there in Toledo. 50,000 mm-hmm. abortions, as I understand, took place in that facility. Mm-hmm. I mean, it truly was a mill. Yeah. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's a slur, that's inflammatory, you shouldn't use that word. But, I mean, people, it was just a mill, the women coming mm-hmm. and going from this place. Maybe you can describe the before and your efforts in prayer before anything began to change with the Center for Choice in Toledo?
In 2000, actually before that, I was a school teacher, believe it or not, for about 17 years. And actually, I was in a Catholic school and I taught. So I was around some amazing prayer warriors there through the diocese. And that's when my heart started to really open for the unborn because they had such a fervent heart, you know, for that. And so I really got trained up under some really amazing sisters of Notre Dame. And but I had kind of a story of my own because when I was 16, I too got pregnant. And my father was not in agreement with that at all. And he wanted to take me to get an abortion. And thankfully, my husband, he is the father of our child. He actually, his father is the one who stepped in and said that this is my grandchild. And so my father and my husband's father, they kind of worked things out a little. But, you know, so I had the story of the possibility of, you know, my father doing that. And I wouldn't have had a choice. You know what I mean? And so
I do know what you mean. And it's a really important story for people to know. Yes.
Yeah, and so really for a lot of the people listening tonight, that's something about me that I'm sharing. And a lot of my family know, and especially my son and my daughter. My son never really knew the story up until my daughter did an assignment at Bowling Green State University, and she interviewed two women, and I was one of them, one who had an abortion in a situation, and then one who kept her baby, and the difficulties with that, and at my age. And so there was always something in the back of my mind that I was led to pray for, that no one should ever have to choose. No one should ever be put in that situation. And I've come away in all these years to really know that if you have a strong support system around you, those who can educate you and tell you, hey, it's going to be okay. Yeah, you can get through this. I think that that's something that a lot of people don't get. And so in my situation, thankfully, my husband's father stepped up. And I think about that a lot. I think, gosh, if he hadn't, or, you know, what would have happened? Because my father would have made sure that this baby didn't come. And I do want people to know, too, that the Lord has brought all of that reconciliation together. I mean, my father just died in August, and but the Lord reconciled our relationship in such a beautiful way that, you know, I didn't harbor those feelings against him. Like, why would you want to do this? This is your grandchild kind of feeling. So I would say that that's the back history of this place in me that God was trying to heal me even then, to reconcile my family, even though
wow.
I did birth my son. Yeah.
Well, and that's important, and I hear this story often from women, and they say, I don't have an abortion in my background, but I certainly could have. And there was someone close to them, whether it was a parent or a friend or maybe even the man involved, that was pressing for abortion, but somehow the child was born. And it blesses me. And I think that it really is a touching story, Denise. And I'm really, really glad you shared it with us. And I'm really happy for you that you reconciled with your father before his passing. You have our condolences on the loss of your dad. That's never easy. But mm-hmm. when our hearts are at peace with our parents before they pass, what a difference that makes too. So here you are. You're a person who has this great awareness of what a vulnerability to abortion looks like. You have this great awareness of what giving social support can mean in the life of a young woman. And the Center for Choice, there they are. I mean, I think they opened, what, in the early 1980s? And
mm-hmm.
had just been steadily doing all this abortion business until things started to change in the, when, around 2000, I think you said?
With the Center for Choice, or?
Right.
Is that what you said? Yeah.
Well,
in 2000 was when we started at the House of Prayer. That's when I had mm-hmm. left the school system, and that really was a faith movement as well. I felt very strongly that the Lord was saying to me that that would be my last year of teaching. And I got to say this, I poured my entire life into these children because I hadn't really dealt with what I called the shame in my life for even getting pregnant without being married, you know? And so then working in a Notre Dame school, and it just seemed so pure, you know, because these are Notre Dame sisters, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm hiding the secret here. They only knew. But then I did come forward, and I told a sister there, you know, I just couldn't hold it in any longer. And I just said, you know, I just got to come clean. And so I shared it, and there was such grace and love there. I was just like, wow, why did I hang on to that for so long? But all of that, was really, I can see now, a healing process that the Lord was bringing me to in this place of faith to stand in this opposition, I would call it, when through prayer, God told me to go over there and stand on the land and ask him for it. I mean, I just heard him in the in my spirit so deeply, because I formed this father relationship with God the Father because I didn't have an earthly father. And I think because I dove in so deeply, he was the only father I knew. So he was my father figure. And what a great father figure that is. And through all of my mess, he kept saying that I was good enough, and that, you know, it's just baffling to me now, you know, and he still has me on that road, really. And so it's hard sometimes for people to understand when I say, well, I heard him say this to me. They're like, are you sure you heard him? You know, was it bad pizza? Was it this? Was it that? And I say, no, I know him. Because he's the only father I knew. And so with that, he could enhance my gifts, the natural gifts that he gave me, that he put in me. And so I've never had any like real formal training in my gifts. It was him who trained me to recognize my gifts and use them in a way that would glorify him. And so that was one of those moments when I was standing in the prayer room on the 16th floor of a 28-story building in Toledo, and I was looking out over the city. So when I heard his drawing of his heart to say, come over here to this land, I went. And to be honest, Kim, whenever he tells me stuff, people who know me know this, but when he tells me stuff, I just know. And when he says go, I go. I don't hesitate. I just do it. It's a natural voice to me. I can't. It's hard for me to explain it. But
I understand. I mean, the word says, yeah, you know, open the eyes of my heart. If our hearts have eyes, our spirits can certainly have ears. Denise Emmering is our guest, and we're going to take a short break. And we're also welcoming you into the conversation. If you'd like to share a story, maybe you have a prayer request. 1-800-811-3003. Denise is a woman of prayer. And we'll take a short break, and then we'll continue with your phone calls and with more with our guest, Denise Emmering, founder, of the Hope Park in Toledo, and more of the story of how that came about coming up here on Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Our phones are open, and it's a toll-free call, and we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-811-3003. In advance of the broadcast tonight, we got an email that I'd like to share with you, and it's from Kathy, who says she wrote to me, and our email is kim@cradlemyheart.org. Kathy wrote, I'm a friend of Denise, and I live in northwestern Ohio. I'm at a church concert in Arizona. Not sure I'll be able to get onto the phone interview tonight, but I would like to bless her by telling her how much I love, appreciate, and agree in prayer with her for Hope Park. God is faithful, and we continue to stand side by side in His glory, marching forward in all He desires to establish on earth as it is in heaven. And Kathy then also says, Toledo is holy, as Jamie Farr proclaimed and declared. And in Findlay, Ohio, where I live, Planned Parenthood closed about 15 years ago and was replaced by a chiropractor's business, because God is in the business of realigning His truth and lavishing His love upon us all. And then she shares with us Psalm 91 and Isaiah 62. To Denise, as I lift her up, lift up her arms and her life in the spirit of the living God. So that's a beautiful tribute from your friend Kathy Shook, or Shock, I think it may be pronounced, that we received via email. Phones are open if you'd like to join our conversation too. 1-800-811-3003. We're talking about the closing of the Center for Choice, an abortion business that had been operating in Toledo for decades. And God brought it to an end and has miraculously now also been in the process of redeeming that land so that the very site where that abortion business was located will be a memorial park for the lives of the children lost to abortion. And as you were telling us the process of that, Denise, you were talking about God directing you to that place to go and stand and pray. And I love the fact that you said, you know, I know God well enough that when he tells me to do something, I do it. I don't question him. You know, so, I mean, it calls to mind some of the biblical stories that we hear of the Lord telling Joshua to march around the walls of Jericho. You want me to do what? What's that going to do? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you always wonder, right. I always wonder when you're reading some of these stories, like lie on my side in the what? Jeremiah. Naked? What?
Yeah.
But you didn't question. You just went and prayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I went over there. It was a beautiful day. The sky was really the most beautiful blue I had ever seen. The sun was piercing. And it was like everything was bright. The birds were even singing on this land. It was just amazing. And when I went over there, you know, we're only allowed to stand on the sidewalk. And so when the Lord spoke to me to step into the land, I was kind of hesitant because I thought, I looked around thinking, I'm going to get arrested. I just know. But it was so quiet there. And so I did. I stepped over a little bit. But as soon as I did, he met me. He met me right there. And it was like he beckoned me to lift my hands and to ask him for that land. I knew I was asking in my spirit. I was asking for the multiple abortion clinics across the world. I just knew there was something, because God isn't just like looking at a Toledo. He's looking at the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that it wasn't just centered on me or centered on Toledo, but this was an act that God was doing so profound. So I felt that in my spirit so strongly. And, you know, I obeyed him. I lifted up my hands. But as soon as I did, it was like he was there. And he said, no business as usual.
Hmm.
No. And when I give you this land, I want the building torn down. I want the foundation torn out. I desire to have a memorial built here. And I then began to see an open vision. And it was like so beautiful. It was like laying out, like you would follow some kind of tour, like, you know, a 3D tour or something. I mean, I could just see the whole thing, and I was just like, wow, God, this is so beautiful. And the amazing thing, too, about this vision is that I saw all the seasons happening. Like, I saw the snow falling. I saw the, you know, the buds coming out, and then I saw that it was in full bloom, and then I saw it, and the Lord was just showing me those were stages of restoration, that the park was there for the memorial of, you know, to name the baby, to give it the dignity of a name, and to give it some closure for some people or whatever they need, but that it was an ongoing healing place. And it was hard to convey, you know, to even the people to graphically draw what I saw, because every single thing had something so deep to him that I think we're going to discover as we go into the park when it's completely finished. I think he's going to keep revealing that, because he's such a close father and he wants to be with us with everything. So it's not a closed-end deal. Okay, the park's built. You can do whatever you want. No. He's wanting, it's like an open invitation to keep coming.
I want to ask you about a spiritual aspect of this, because God's really been impressing on me that part of the reason why the abortion business has advanced the way that it has is that the church is on defense rather than being proactively proclaiming the truth. Instead, we're coming behind and saying, hey, wait a minute, you're doing that. That's not what God wants. And then they say, oh, you're just trying to take women's rights away. Well, no, we need to be proactively proclaiming the truth. And God's been showing me the importance of us knowing how much he values the fact that he embodies us, that he gives us bodies to be his dwelling place among men. if we'll bow our hearts and say yes to make our hearts his home. Our bodies really matter to him. The bodies of the children lost to abortion matter to him, but so does the land. Maybe you can. I mean, people, I don't think people understand the importance of the shedding of innocent blood and the land. And maybe you can use this as a teachable moment for us.
Yeah, what I've come even to learn in the last year, because he's even just recently given us more land in our city. That was so supernatural. But the land is very important to him because he created all things. He's the creator of the universe. And so it's not like God just throws stuff out there and says, okay, I did that. That's great. I'm more interested in you as a living being. No, he made us here to enjoy what he has made. It's no different than a parent who provides a house for you, but they want you to live in it as a family. And so for him, it's like he's wanting us to live in these places, the land with him, but also that the land also has what I want to call a DNA in itself too, because the scriptures tell us that the trees clap, you know, and in the land will sing again. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people who are called by my name, you know, will humble themselves, pray, repent, all those things. But yet there's a line tagged on there that most people don't really look at. And he says, and then I'll heal your land. Well, healing that land is so important. And it's not, the land doesn't mean a person. It means everything involved in that land. And I've seen firsthand, because this land actually had such a very strong smell. It was a smell I had never encountered before inside the building. And even when the Klum brothers came and they had torn down the first part of it, a smell went up in the atmosphere. I mean, all around us, people even standing around would say, wow, what is that smell? And that particular day, it smelled horrible. It was like you couldn't even say, well, that reminds me of this. You couldn't even attach anything to it. And it just got progressively worse, but it was all in the building foundation part down into the land. And so even Bob Klum, who was overseeing the whole excavation there, he said, you know, he goes, our guys show up every day. If you notice, they're wearing those little surgical masks today. said, yeah, I know. It does smell really bad. He goes, and you would think with us being outside, it wouldn't be so bad, but it's really bad. And it got me thinking about it. And when I went home, I just said, God, what is that? What is it, Lord? And he just, I mean, in his way to express it, he just was sharing with me that the land is giving off its death. And of course, me, I want to fix things. I said, well, how do we fix that? And that's when he just kind of showed me what to gather. So I gathered some frankincense and myrrh stones that I had gotten from Israel. And I knew he wanted me to come over and to burn that incense under our tree, our very special tree there. And so we did. But some intercessors and I went over there, and we lit those incense. And the fragrance was like, you could smell it when you were first standing there, and it was going off, but it wasn't giving off a whole lot yet. But the beautiful part of it was that when we put worship music to it, the worship is what carried the fragrance, and it went straight up our tree, which was the only standing tree in the middle of the whole lot, the dogwood tree. It went straight up, straight down, and went down into the foundation and swirled around, and then would come back up in the tree. And it did that for, I don't know, an hour or so. And the smell went away.
Wow, Denise, we've got a hard break. What a cliffhanger going into a break. We know there's a story behind that tree that we're going to get into in our next section of the broadcast. So please do stay with us with our guest, Denise Emmerine, the prayer warrior who's the founder of Hope Park in Toledo. And phones are open for you too, 800-811-3003. Please join us, Cradle My Heart Radio.
seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
That's our phone number, and our phones are open. It's a toll-free call for you at 1-800-811-3003 if you'd like to speak with our guest, Denise Emmerine. She's the founder of Toledo's Greater House of Prayer and also the founder of Hope Park, which is a memorial for unborn children, which is being built on the site of the Center for Choice, where some 50,000 children lost their lives to abortion. And you mentioned the tree. And when you were telling us about reclaiming the land and God, the pleasing aroma that went up in that ceremony, tell us about this tree and the significance of it on that site, Denise.
It's interesting because the tree actually was there even before it became a clinic, you know, an abortion clinic. And so this tree was at the entrance of where the clients would go in and out every day. And at the time when we had done all of the cleaning in there, there had been so much going on inside the building, just trying to get us to, you know, the phase of this demolition. So it had taken pretty much, you know, close to 15 months or so to even get to that phase. But the tree in particular that weekend was so significant. First of all, it bloomed late, which I had found out from a man who knows his trees from the Andersons here in Toledo. And he was surprised that it bloomed that late. And so, you know, as we look at some of the things of God, he can cause things to happen for the perfect timing, for a reason, for other people's healing. And that's what happened that weekend. Had a man join us in the cleaning up who was a lawyer who was actually at the table and 30 years prior and had sold that very building. As a young lawyer fresh out of college, you know, just starting his career and be given this assignment. And when he sat with her at the table and this, you know, she had purchased the property and that, he felt something in himself. And it's hard to believe that sometimes even those small actions can do things to people. So here's this man and, by, I don't know, a whole line of things that just aligned itself and set itself up, he ended up finding out that we were going to clean that place the next day, and he wanted to come. And so when he came, he told me his story, and he said, you know, you can tell me to leave if you want to. And I had tears, and he had tears, and I said, oh, my gosh, no, this is God's never-ending story of redemption and love here. And he said, you know, I should have never taken the case. And so it actually haunted him all those years that he was part of that, that he actually sold, you know, was part of that transaction. So here he was in there with us, and he knew his trees. And we had cleaned and brought the freezer up. Now, there was a freezer in the basement that we found in the furnace room, and it had a written paper on the top of it telling how to carefully, you know, dispose of or take these, you know, whatever was in those bags. We knew that they had to be something that they were hiding, because why would they put them in a small chest freezer in a furnace room, you know, tucked away instead of in the, you know, the ways that you take care of this stuff. And so they hauled that upstairs. And so we had it there, and we found a bunch of files in a back room in the basement. We brought all those files up because they had names in them. They had people. And we put those in there with it. And we just felt the Holy Spirit. We just felt God's presence right then. And I had torn off a branch from that dogwood tree, and because it was so beautiful, it had these huge blooms on it. And if you've ever seen the dogwood, it's got the cross on it, you know, it's got the piercings on it. And he said, "Do you know what this tree is?" And I said, "No, I just like the flowers." I said, "It's just beautiful considering what we're going through inside this building." And he got a little misty-eyed, and he said, "Well, that's a dogwood tree," and he started to tell about it. And so we placed it inside this freezer, and I said, "Oh, my gosh, we got to save this tree." I said, so I turned to some people in the room, and I said, "When this demo happens, I'm tying a red ribbon around that tree. We're going to save this tree." And sure enough, when the time came, when God just came in like a wind and decided today's the day that this building's coming down, I had to get a ribbon around that tree to save that tree. I told the Klum brothers, I came on that property and I said, "Listen, you got to save that tree." And he goes, "Ma'am, that's like our big toys going into a china shop and say, 'Hey, save the china.'" I go, "Well, then you got to save this china, because please." He said, "Ma'am, we'll do everything we can to save that tree." And they did. And so now it's, you know, it sits there in the middle of this field. But I go by it, and I see that tree, and I think it represents that life is here now.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Just, yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of excited to see it bloom, you know, this year. And the interesting thing, too, I don't know if people know this, but that particular type of dogwood, the guy from Anderson said, you know, in the fall, the leaves curl in, and if you look closely enough, they look like little hearts, but they're crimson red. And sure enough, in the fall, it curled up, the leaves curled up, and they got really, really red. And so you see this red tree that looks like hearts all over it in the middle of this field. And it's like God is just saying, love is here. Love is here.
Let's go to the phones and welcome Kathy to the program. Kathy, thank you for joining us. I know you've got a special message for Denise Emery, and our guest. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Denise. I just want to tell you so much that I love you, love you, love you. I continue to pray for the city of Toledo. I thank God for the boldness and the courage that you have taken a stand there for the city, and that you will continue being that blessing to establish God's kingdom of love and life there. And I'm believing for, of course, the city of Findlay, which is about 50 miles south, that we will be able to partake in that and join together as well. So I just wanted to call you and tell you that.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Kathy, thank you for your call. We appreciate you joining us here on Cradle My Heart. You know, as you're talking about the dogwood and you're talking about the spiritual significance, I think it's important to note that while all the prayer was happening, there was also some activism that was going on. And really, this thing might have come about because the owner of the abortion business was not operating according to all of the regulations and the laws that people who had been pressing for, you know, pro-life rules in Ohio had been calling for. The center was not up to standards, as I understand it.
Yeah, she wasn't in compliance with the transfer agreement. And so
explain what that is for those who aren't savvy about it.
Well, it in simple terms, as far as I can understand it, is that if there should happen to be any kind of a botched abortion, or something happens to the client or the person, that they need an immediate transfer. They need to get help. And there wasn't anything in place. In fact, because there was this law for the state of Ohio that this be in place, the University Medical Center with one of them that was doing this transfer, but somewhere along the line, there must have been that they said that they weren't going to do it anymore or they weren't going to be part of it. So she operated without a transfer agreement for 3 years. So when you think about, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, maybe there could have been some women who were really jeopardized in their health in that 3 year window. But can you imagine if something horrific had happened?
Mm.
They could have lost their life there because there was no emergency, transfer. And then just recently, we found out, you know, at the, because we still have another abortions clinic still operating, and we're just praying fervently that God will close that door. Something happened there, and they actually drove the client to the hospital, but then they just dropped him off and left him there. So even driving them in your own car, what a risk. So you can see that they don't really value life, even though they say they value life.
Oh, my goodness. There have been at least 400 cases. There have been at least 400 cases of women who have died after an abortion because mm-hmm. medical care was not available to them. We spoke with Eileen Smith, whose daughter Laura died. She didn't know Laura was pregnant, and she got a call from her distraught friend. She was at the ER. Laura's dead. What are you talking about? This facility was not prepared to handle what they did to her in the course of injuring her during the abortion, and she died.
Wow.
What you're talking about is not fear-mongering. I really mm-hmm. want people to understand that this is true, and it is a present danger anytime that you're talking about surgical abortions. It can happen with medical abortions as well. You can't just... Mm-hmm. Take a medication and decide, you know, you're going to control how a woman responds and how much bleeding is actually going to happen after you trigger the bleeding. So I think that's something really important. And having said it, I want to switch back, though, to the spiritual and talk about the remarkable way that God has woven Isaiah 61 through this story, because I think that's such a testimony to, as my brother used to say, sometimes God is so blatant about the way that he makes his presence known in the midst of things.
Yeah. We went through a series of things, and we ended up getting to the absolute auction. And so the day before, a dear friend of mine who is working in the commercial real estate part of it, said to me, I actually said to him, I'm sitting in the parking lot at the prayer room now. And so he was going through, you know, kind of answering my questions of all this stuff about what's an absolute auction, how does it work, what do you do, you know, all that stuff. And but he said, well, the most important thing is that we've got to know where the cutoff is of where do we, cut off the amount that this could potentially, you know, rise to. And he said, so since you're going into the prayer room, why don't you ask God what that is? And so we talked a little bit. I stepped into the prayer room, and, you know, it's not uncommon for God to give me a scripture as soon as I walk in, you know, to the prayer room or as I'm driving or something like that. And but when I came in, I heard Isaiah 61. Well, somebody else was in the prayer room that wanted to talk with me, so I took her to the back, and I was ministering to her. And so it kind of ate up the 2 hours that I'm usually in there for this prayer time. And so I ended up leaving that night, and he wanted to know if God had said anything. And I said, well, no, not really. And I said, to be honest, I didn't have time because I was ministering to this girl. So we went into the absolute auction without like a number per se of how much, okay, where the cutoff was. But God knew where the cutoff was. And so we were set up on the phone as this was happening, and as we had an agent on the ground, and there was a whole series of talking back and forth, and should we bid again? Should we go up? And it was like, Tim was like, you know, what do we do? You know, are you hearing anything? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And the stress, I mean, I felt like the whole weight was on my shoulders to hear from God. What's your number? What's your magic number, God? little did we know the number was housed in Isaiah 61 until Tim had said, well, didn't you get anything? And I said, well, when I went into the prayer room, I got Isaiah 61. So he opens it up and reads it. We both were astounded by it because, you know, that's the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, he has anointed me to, you know, break the chains and do all these things. Like, it's like, that's exactly what this clinic, this is what his story is. This is what he's going to do. And the final number, the man who, there was only one other guy there, and the final number was when the bid was done, we got it at 61,000. It was just like, we both, our mouths were just like dropped open, like, God, wow, a $200,000 building and land, God had the number of 61,000 on it.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back. And this is last call for your chance to talk with our guest, Denise Semmerine. And as I said, maybe you have a prayer request. It would be our joy and pleasure to pray with you tonight as well. Join us, 1-800-811-3003, for more of the remarkable story of the founding of Hope Park, a memorial for the unborn in Toledo, here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others. Find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Our guest tonight is Denise Semmerine, the founder of Hope Park in Toledo, a memorial for the unborn. And if the story resonates, perhaps you had heard us through the years talking about the National Memorial for the Unborn in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which also exists at the place where a former abortion business had been located. And Denise, you know, you've shared this vision, and one of the most remarkable parts of the story is that the healing for the women who went to the Center for Choice for the destruction of their children comes full circle with this promise of a memorial for them. I think that, you know, the tearing down of the abortion business and then all that it took to establish the memorial in Chattanooga was kind of a longer time frame. It's amazing that this is happening in the way that it is. I mean, the Center for Choice closed, what, in 2014?
13, and then we got the deed in possession October 7th of 2014.
And so you're already hearing from women who are responding and saying that, you know, they have such terrible memories of what happened in that very place, and yet they now have this prospect of healing in that place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and even when Focus on the Family, Citizen Magazine came out and they did the story of what happened to the next part of that story is that a family came full circle. And the craziness of that is that the very man that was helping me with this whole purchase agreement, you know, just everything pertaining to it, he was the guy who was on the phone with me with the Isaiah 61 and everything. And here God was causing him to come forward. And he said to me, he said, I have something to say to you. One time when we came out of the center, and then he told me that, you know, he had an abortion, you know, had taken his girlfriend, you know, in college. And he was so broken by it. And on that very land, the Lord, the wind just kind of picked up that day. And as he's crying on this property, I'm looking around and feeling such a presence of God. It was almost like the wind was wrapping their arms around him and just saying, healing is here. And to think then that spiraled into his sister coming forward and telling about her abortion as well. And then the father coming forward and saying that they have a sibling, a brother that they never knew about. from many years ago. And so it was like God was bringing redemption through the family line. And it was all spearheaded out of this move that he did on this land, you know, and then the lawyer that, you know, that came that represented her and but came and cleaned up the property there. But then God brought restoration to him as well. Repeatedly, I've even gotten emails from women and men from across the United States having read the article, and they are just like, I want to come to this park. I'm going to drive my Winnebago clear across the United States. I want to come because it's the second one in the nation that God has done this with. And so it, there's some kind of impact there. There's a reason. And that actual property, I mean, she held that, the owner of it, for 30 years. And when you think that God came in and through the prayers and the cries, I believe tears from mothers and fathers and grandparents, there was a tipping point, and that was his tipping of the point of his heart being poured out. People have asked me, you know, what do you call this thing that God's done? And I say, when love answers. I say, because he's still answering. And it's just a profound love story of God. And so this place, you know, will definitely, you know, draw people. I'm sure there will be stories that we won't even hear about. There's probably stories happening now of people going on the land. And now I've seen, go ahead.
It's under construction, right? I'm just, we only have a few minutes and I want to leave time for us to pray at the end. So it's under construction right now, right? What's the progress of the project?
We are actually at phase two. Phase two is the actual, we have all the prints and everything ready to go. But, you know, we're trying to get the funds together to, when we go, we can go straight in and get it built. And so currently, you know, we still need about 400 and I think maybe 405,000 to do that portion. So we have come a ways. The interesting thing, but the total cost of this project ends up being $610,000. So the 61, it just went up. So, if people chuckle about that. It's just amazing. God just keeps his little fingerprint on it. No doubt in my mind he's going to build it. I just believe that there's so many lives and people that he's touching that is the real draw. So.
Amen.
Yeah, it is in phase two.
So we just have 2 minutes remaining, and Dan called with a request that we would pray for Toledo and for this issue. And so I just will give that to you, Denise, if you would just lead us in a prayer to close.
Okay. Well, Father, we just thank you that you were just showing your heart to so many, and so many times you have brought this story to the nation and even to Israel, God. And so your spirit is definitely upon it as the sovereign Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you have called these places your Isaiah 61. It's your story of how you were saying, proclaim my good news to the poor. And Father, you're asking us to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim your freedom for those who are held captive and to release them from the darkness. You're asking us, Lord God, to come before you, to comfort them as you would comfort them, and to mourn with them, and to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of the ashes, and say to them that you have the oil of joy in you. And so, Father, we just ask that right now, God, that you would take every person who feels like they're still in this journey of healing, God. I ask, God, that you would put upon them the garment of praise, and show them that you are with them. Wrap them with your love and prosperity, God. In your precious name, Jesus, we just face, we just lift up our praise to you, God. And we know, Father, that it is a yes and amen, and it is finished, God. But we thank you for all the people that you are using, God, to show your face and your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
And we agree, Lord, for all the funding that needs to happen so that all can come and be healed. Denise Emmerine, thank you so much for being our guest. Amen. In Jesus' name, thank you and God bless you.
Yes. Thank you, Kim.
We are out of time, but please visit cradlemyheart.org to learn more about Hope Park and all that God has for you. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening. Your support makes this podcast stream possible. Information is available at myfaithradio.com.